Now, in light of today's attack, the debate over security versus freedom comes up once again. Traveling these days is absolute hell, thanks to increased security measures that create long lines. They introduce us to backscatter machines, intrusive, enhanced pat-downs. And we saw a wave of anger spread in America last fall over these X-ray scanners, an opt-out day planned. But when it came down to it, most travelers didn't opt out. Now, America hasn't had any successful attacks at its airports post 9/11. But today's tragedy highlights another loophole in security, arrival terminals. So, should we submit? Do we do whatever is necessary to keep safe, even if it includes scanners and metal detectors at every single open airport door? Or do we have to draw the line somewhere and realize that living in fear isn't really living? Here to discuss it with me is Jordan Sekulow, Director of Policy and International Operations for the American Center for Law and Justice. And joining us from Ohio, we have Nick Gillespie, Editor-in-Chief of Reason TV and Reason.com. Gentlemen, I want to thank you both for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, Jordan, I'm going to start with you. Why do you think that we haven't had a substantial, a successful terrorist attack on American soil since 9/11? Would you credit that towards our heightened security?
I do think the country came together after that attack, and we passed the Patriot Act. And it was so interesting that at the time, you did not see civil liberties groups on the right or the left really come out and criticize it too heavily. The ACLU got on board, and then many conservative groups now are against the Patriot Act. But at the time, people saw it as successful, and when President Obama came into office, people thought, well, maybe he would change it up, and he really hasn't. I think that's because the executive branch realized how effective it's been at combating at least organized terrorism. But I'll say this, as you point out what happened in Moscow, it's very difficult to stop people in public places that are willing to die. And that's even different than a hijacker situation where sometimes it may not be about blowing up the plane into the side of a building, it may just be a hijacking. If people are willing to put bombs on themselves and blow themselves up, it's a much more difficult situation, especially in a public place.
So, Nick, I want you to chime in here. You know, if, like Jordan is saying, if somebody has this mission and their mission is to die, is to blow themselves up, then do we really need all of the security? Do the rest of us have to, you know, go through X-ray scanners and stand through long lines in order to try to prevent that, even though, you know, I guess nothing can ever be sure?
Yeah, first, out of the box, we have to correct something that Jordan said. In fact, civil liberties groups across the right and the left were apoplectic at the Patriot Act, which was passed about a month after the 9/11 attacks. Everybody knows that nobody in Congress read the thing when it was passed. People like Ron Paul, who's a right-wing Republican, was against it. In Reason Magazine, in our first issue after the 9/11 attacks, we had one of the co-founders of the Heritage Foundation come out against the Patriot Act and against incursion on civil liberties. You have people like Fox News Channel's Judge Andrew Napolitano, who is a hard constitutional conservative, who says this is all crap. The fact is that the Patriot Act is not why we are safe. We're safe for two basic reasons. One is our intelligence apparatus, which is good and strong and which should be doing exactly what it's doing, which is tracking down terrorists in foreign countries and within the United States within the scope of international and domestic law. The other part is that basically domestic terrorism, like we saw on 9/11, died even before the noon was reached on 9/11, when the passengers on the flight over Pennsylvania took charge of the plane and crashed it rather than let the terrorists win there. The single biggest fix to get rid of airborne threats was simply barricading cockpit doors, which was very cheap and very quick and should have been done ahead of time. We are not gaining anything by going through rapiscan machines. We're not gaining anything by standing in long lines and having a massively expensive, useless, and clearly ineffective security theater operation like the TSA running airport lines. In fact, all the TSA does is create more of a target for terrorism by creating long lines in airports. There's no reason to
And I think that's where we would agree. I mean, I would say maybe that some of the groups came out, but I would say the American people, I don't think, were outraged initially about the Patriot Act. I think that's it's a necessary response, or at least an honest response, after you suffer an attack like it was suffered in Moscow today. But what we have seen throughout, I think, this debate with the TSA is that many conservative groups who have put forward the idea of a word that people don't like, which is profiling, and I don't know where Nick is on that, so I don't want to speak for him, but again, why are we wasting everyone's time going through the airport checks when we're talking about that situation, instead of focusing on the people? And it's constitutional. The courts have said it's racial profiling is not, that's different, but profiling for security reasons is. I think it's a debate, again, hopefully it will happen in Russia, it should be happening in the United States. I agree with Nick, a lot of this is a waste of resources and time, though I don't think the Patriot Act, I don't think the Patriot Act means nothing at all. I do think it has disrupted major international terrorist events. Not the person necessarily wants to strap a bomb on, walk in by themselves, but the bigger groups.
Look, it's a combination of things, and one is that the American intelligence industry sector had all the information it needed to prevent 9/11, and it's prevented certain attacks since then. Others, it's been lucky, where it's just the incompetence of the terrorists. More power to that, and more power
you
to
do
the
know part of that was, though, that we could share information after the Patriot Act between security. The FBI and the CIA could not share information.
But that's what I wonder, right? Because
it's not a fallacy. The FBI and the CIA and the military intelligence couldn't share information before the Patriot
itself,
Act.
It didn't need anything from the CIA. The FBI had all the information that it needed about 9/11 ahead of time, and it muffed it because it had too much information. And the fact is that they weren't responsive to various agents in the field who knew about Zakarias Moussaoui and other people. More to the point, though, the things that we give up, if we start to adopt the mindset that we have to give up anything in order to combat terrorism, then the terrorists have won. That's the point of it. These people are not existential threats. It's not the Soviet Union. It's not international communism. It's not a fight to the end. What we're talking about are dead enders who number probably in the hundreds, no more than the thousands, who are willing to blow themselves up in order to disrupt a day and a half of American life at best. The best thing that we can do is use our police powers in order to go after them, to engage both the Arab world and the Muslim world and various other places in as positive way as possible, which I hope we're doing, not always, and to be alert on a basic level. But the fact is that we're not safer because of the Patriot Act. We're safer because we have a big intelligence agency, which, like all government operations, is largely inefficient.
Which wasn't operating very well before the Patriot Act. And it is operating better, but not best. And I'll agree there. It wasn't operating the best as it can right now. It's definitely operating better since the Patriot Act because they have more freedom. Nick is all about letting them have freedom to make up their minds, do their work.
It gives them a lot more freedom
to be able to do
that. But Nick, are you okay? I mean, obviously, we're talking a lot about intelligence here rather than, physical security at the spot. Now, when we talk about, Nick, let me speak for a second, please. When we talk about intelligence gathering, is this something, though, that you're in support of when it comes to illegal wiretapping of the entire, American population? If it comes to profiling that way, you're okay with being monitored night and day by your government without knowing it?
You answer your own question when you say, okay, yeah, are you okay with illegal wiretapping? No, I'm not. And one of the reasons why I'm not is that's a sign that we have just shredded the Constitution for the fantasy that we're going to catch more terrorists that way. The fact is that there are legal safeguards in place, and some have been beefed up since 9/11 in order to protect people. Other things, there have been wide net surveillance programs that have not passport muster that have been uncovered, which is very disturbing. The fact that Barack Obama is following George Bush's understanding, incredibly expansive understanding of executive power, to say, he could order the assassination of U.S. citizens in the U.S.
But this, I think, is interesting what Nick said, that President Obama is following that, which I think is a
sign. President Obama is following it.
And I think it's a signal of how effective those strategies are, like them or not, even if someone who comes from a very different constitutional law background even than President Bush and his advisors would have, agrees to use these policies, they must be effective, or President Obama would have changed them and agreed with Nick.
All right, gentlemen. Unfortunately, I have to wrap it up, because we're out of time. I want to thank you both very much for joining us. Not trying to cut you off, but it's live TV. What can I say? Thank you.